Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Hour two of three on the Chris and Amy show featuring John Hancock today. Hey. Instead of Amy, we've got the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock. It'll be Bernie Miklas and me.
Fun.
Chris Ranji. We will give away a Cardinals holiday pack of tickets during the show today. That's the 12 o'clock hour. You got to be listening for your opportunity to win. On this show, we have a pair of tickets for Neil Forever, which is a Neil Diamond tribute show.
That should be fun.
Happening at the Factory January 9th.
Cracklin' Rosie.
Got to be listening for your chance to win those tickets, too. Let's talk to Matt Pauley as the Cardinals get ready for the winter meetings. Baseball's winter meetings get started on Sunday, Matt, and you will be present.
I will. Hopefully, it is, you know, some years nothing happens, and there's no guarantee that anything will happen this year. But every year we go into it being hopeful that it's going to be an eventful few days.
Well, the Cardinals are going to, you know, they're shopping out there. It's a Christmas season. You get all the GMs together. What do you think the over-under is on how many moves are made by the Redbirds at the meeting? One?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say I think stuff's going to happen before Christmas. I don't know. It's hard for me to evaluate if it's going to happen during the winter meetings. I think, you know, the work started during the GM meetings, and I think that helped lead to the Sonny Gray trade. I'm pretty confident that at least two or three guys are going to be moved in all likelihood before 2025 comes to an end. But I'd be being disingenuous with you guys if I made a prediction on what it was actually going to look like during the winter meetings, because there's a possibility that conversations continue, groundwork is made, but the deals aren't actually pulled off until after the meetings come to an end.
Yeah, this is it's a good time for framework, and I frameworks of deals to be made, and I know that it is just it's a different environment than it used to be. The winter meetings back in the day, it was about, you know, getting together and trying to make things happen because communication was different 40, 50 years ago. But things still do happen here. And I think Cardinals fans, Matt, and you probably get this when you're hosting Sports Open Line or post-game shows for the Cardinals. I mean, they're impatient. You know, a lot of them are. But I also think there are people who have a lot of patience with this, if this is a rebuild they're going through. Do you get that same impression that Cardinals fans get it? They know where we are. They know where the organization is and what has to happen to get it back to where it used to be.
Yeah, some do and some don't. You know, I think more and more people, to your point, more and more people are figuring that out. But I get text messages and calls every day asking, oh, are the Cardinals going to sign this guy for this year? What does it look like? You know, could they possibly bring in, like, and the answer is no. Like,
just a blanket no.
Happen. So there is still a disconnect for some people on what this really looks like. And that doesn't, by the way, that doesn't mean that they're not going to bring in guys on major league deals. Like, I have a hard time calling this a fire sale because when I think of fire sale, I think of selling everybody off and then a bunch of minor leaguers or, you know, you almost have like a 4A team playing. I would suspect that if the Cardinals send guys off, they are going to replace them in some form or fashion with legitimate big league players that are not going to embarrass themselves, but it's not going to be guys who are probably as good as the guys who are being traded. So I don't know. They're not signing Max Scherzer, right? Like that's the point that I'm making, but are there major league players that they could bring in this year that could help them win games this upcoming season? I do think that's going to happen. So, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
A lot of talk about the potential of moving Brendan Donovan. He seems to be one of the most hotly sought after of the Cardinals that are potential trade pieces. And he's kind of been a Swiss Army knife for the Cardinals during his career, plays five different positions. Who is that guy, if assuming Donovan is gone? Is it Thomas Sejesi? I haven't heard him talk about much in the offseason yet. It seems to me like he might be a fairly important piece to this ball club next year.
Yeah, and I think his role is going to be somewhat dependent on how active they are. If they move Arenado and Donovan, then I think in all likelihood it's Gorman at third, Weatherholt at second, and Sejesi kind of bounces around a little bit. But is there a scenario where Arenado, Donovan, and Gorman all get traded? Yeah, that could happen. And if that happens, I think at that point all of a sudden you're looking at Sejesi being either your third baseman or your second baseman, with Weatherholt being at the other spot. So Sejesi's role for this upcoming season, I think, is very much dependent upon how many guys end up being moved. To your point, he could be that guy who can play all over the field, or he might end up having a pretty solid position if the roster kind of shakes out that way.
We talk a lot about Brendan Donovan, but a name that has come up and when we discuss the left-handed bats, not as often, but it does come up, as Alec Burleson. The Cardinals don't seem so keen on trading him, but also it's not like he's nailed down to the floor either. So what do you think the likelihood is of them making a deal with Burleson?
Yeah, I think they would have to be absolutely blown away by an offer. That, you know, everybody's available, but so there's a couple guys that you're just going to have to give the offer that cannot be refused. And I think Burleson is in that group. They like him. They've got him under control for a good number of years. There's a lot of reasons to hang on to him. But yeah, I mean, he's available. Everybody's available at the right price this offseason.
Thinking about Jordan Walker, who admittedly struggled mightily last season, I have to assume that he's not slotted in as the opening day right fielder. He's going to have to earn that in spring training. You agree?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't think you can slot him in for anything, including a major league job. There is a scenario where he ends up at AAA, and he's saying and doing all the right things. Derek Gould wrote about this in the Post-Dispatch a week ago or so about he felt like a statue last year, so he's doing some more flexibility and yoga-type things this year. He's spending a lot of time at the Cressy's facility, which is there in the Palm Beach area. He lives in Jupiter, close to the Cardinals' spring training complex. He's saying and doing all the right things, but you know what? He said and did all the right things last year as well. We made such a big deal at winter warmup of the way he looked and the things he was saying and what he talked about, how he was tweaking his swing. And then he ended up being one of the worst players in all of Major League Baseball from a hitting perspective this past year. So I'm optimistic that he's doing the things that he's doing and he's saying the things that he's saying. But until I see it during spring training, it's hard to count on him for anything.
That's the thing. I don't know what to think of him. My impression of him, having met him once and spoken to him, I think maybe we did on the phone one time, but so at most a couple of times, my impression of him was that he kind of, you know, he had a good attitude. That doesn't mean that when you finally get exposed to big league baseball and it doesn't go well, that you know things don't wear on you and your attitude changes. What do you believe the last season or two have done for him in terms of his mentality as a player? Because sometimes it can wear on you if you struggle, and a lot of guys cannot overcome that.
Yeah, what I hope, I don't know for sure, but what I hope the answer to that question is that he's learned that he can't do things the way he's been doing them and be successful. That's one of the toughest things for young phenoms when the way they do things works in high school. And if they go to college, works in college. And then as they go through the minor league system, it works at single A and it works at double A and it works at triple A. And then all of a sudden you get to the big leagues and it just simply does not work anymore. And sometimes it takes a while to realize it's not going to work. And I think that was the thing with Walker, that he was continuing to try to do things the way he's always done them. And by the way, some of the responsibility of that goes to the Cardinals. You've got to be smart enough as a guy is coming up through the system to identify the things that, yeah, this might work at double A, but this isn't going to work in the big leagues. So let's fix this now. And I don't think the Cardinals did a very good job of that with him. So then he got to the big leagues and he looked really good at the beginning, but it was very quick for opposing teams and opposing pitchers to see what they needed to do to have success against him. And he's never fully recovered from that. So that's a really long answer, but my hope would be the last couple years and him literally being one of the worst hitters in all of Major League Baseball, that has proven to him that he can't keep doing it the way he's been trying to do it.
One of the offseason head scratchers for the Cardinals is what they're going to do with this catching position. You got Ivan Herrera late in the season said he'd like to catch again. So that's out there. They signed Pozo, which I was a little surprised. You've got Jimmy Crooks, who showed some last year. That probably leaves Pedro Pages as the odd man out here. But there's still a lot of decisions to make on that catching position.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. So with Pozo, I think Pozo's earmarked for AAA. He got a major league contract, meaning he's on the 40-man roster, but you still have it was a split contract where he gets paid a certain amount in the big leagues and a certain amount at AAA. When he was brought in last year, he was brought in to be the veteran catcher at AAA to pair with Jimmy Crooks, and it just so happened the Cardinals had some injuries and needed somebody at the big league level, and he came up. So if he's in that same role this year, but instead working with Leonardo Bernal at AAA, I think that's the best possible scenario. And then if you need him at the big leagues, he's not going to embarrass himself. They need to figure out if Ivan Herrera can catch or not. If Herrera is not going to be a catcher, well, then Pages becomes that much more important. There's also a scenario where Wilson Contreras gets traded. And if Contreras gets traded, yeah, you move Alec Burleson into first base. But do you also consider playing Ivan Herrera at first base a little bit as well? So you have a bit of a righty-lefty platoon with those two guys. So, Contreras isn't a catcher anymore, but Contreras still impacts the catching position because I think Herrera catches even less if Contreras isn't on the roster because of a possible spot over at first. So is there a possibility that Pages is an odd man out? Is there a possibility that Pages gets traded this offseason? Yeah, I think all of that's on the table. There's probably no single position on the team that's more unsettled than the catching position right now.
Just seeing that, or just looking at the National Signing Day results from yesterday. There was a National Signing Day in college football, so Mizzou and Illinois both have all of their signings. I don't know if you've had a chance to really look into any of that, but any thoughts on what the two teams did?
I saw more Mizzou stuff than Illinois stuff. Mizzou lost a couple guys on signing day, which is always, that's got to be so incredibly frustrating for a coaching staff when you've got a guy locked in verbally and then all of a sudden it's signing day and they go sign with another team. So that happened with a couple players who had been verbally committed. It's always tough because Missouri's national ranking, it's going to look really, really good. And then you compare it to the other teams in the SEC, and they're a middle-of-the-pack team in the SEC in terms of, you know, where they're at. But I think Eli Drinkwitz did what he does pretty much every year. He does a nice job. He's going to, you know. But for Missouri, with all due respect to National Signing Day, working the transfer portal is going to have a much larger impact on what Missouri does than, you know, the kids that they signed yesterday.
Hey, tonight the Blues will play in Boston against the Bruins. That's a team that's just a little over 500. Any chance of the Blues turning it around and not being poo anymore?
Yeah, I mean they're better than the record they put up. They've just got to at some point figure it out. I haven't looked at the standings today, but yesterday they were 3 points out of a wild card spot. There were a bunch of teams that they would have to jump over. But the one of the remarkable things, as bad as the season has gone, there's been a lot of teams that are not very good there towards You know, the NHL is so top heavy, and then once you get past the really good teams, everybody's kind of in the same area. So that includes the Blues. It would not take that much of a run for them to all of a sudden be in playoff position. And on that last road trip, what, they lost three games in overtime or in a shootout? So they got a point in all those games. That point feels terrible in the moment because I think they had leads in every single one of those games. So it just feels like a terrible loss, but you still got the point and it still kind of keeps you in there. So I don't know. Like, I'm very pessimistic about this team. I don't like the way they've played. I don't know what the path is for them to start putting it together, but I also know that the roster is good enough for them to be better than what they've shown.
Matt Pauly, we know you have an abbreviated Sports Open line tonight because we've got Cowboys-Lions Thursday night football, the broadcast starting at 6:30. So what, about a half hour of you?
Yep, we'll do Rush Hour Sports, Kevin Wheeler and myself, 5 to 6, and then I've got a half hour leading up to Thursday Night Football.
Go get him, pal.
All right, I will.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Matt Pauly, host of Rush Hour Sports, 5 o'clock Monday through Friday here on KMOX, unless there's a game that interferes. Same thing for Sports Open Line, usually 6 to 8. But tonight we'll go until 6:30, leading into Thursday night football. The Cowboys, who are playing a little better, against the Detroit Lions.
Could be a good game.
Should be.
Should be.
Should be a good game. Let's see what Dallas can do tonight against the crappy Lions. Did I mention John, who's in first place in the NFC?
Yes.
give me that John Hancock sniff.
Yeah, no big deal. It's only the Bears.
That's right. Hey, speaking of,
yeah,
shall we talk about the pick'em results from last week?
I had to have won. Did I win?
We'll find out when we come back on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, so every Friday at 11 o'clock, we do the No Prize Pick'em Challenge on the Chris and Amy Show.
Yes.
And John Hancock filled in on Friday of last week.
And I had to have won.
Well, let's get to the results in a moment here, John.
I'm pretty sure I
and
won.
The way what we do here, and we've been doing it for a couple of years, is we have a listener participant. Mm-hmm. We have a celebrity participant, or, you know, you can call it a celebrity if you want. And Amy us? And I, usually. Yeah. But you were in for Amy, so you took her place. So, Dave, listener.
I've never won until this week.
Well, okay, hold on, John. Yeah. Hold on. We're not that far. All right. Listener Dave participated against Alexa Datt from Alexa Datt.
She did a fine job.
FanDuel Sports Network Midwest.
She was late, as I recall.
She was a little bit late.
Yeah.
Yeah. She better never do that again.
Mm.
So, if you would like to know the results, I will give them to you first of all, and then I have to address something after the fact.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our winner for last week's No Prize Pick'em Challenge.
It was a good week. I mean, I don't like to talk, but I mean, I felt like I was simpatico.
Listener Dave. Listener
what?
Dave
what?
Has won and gets to come back tomorrow.
What?
Yes. Listener Dave and I both finished with 5 correct.
Yeah.
And he got the final. He was closest to the final score. Huh. The final score was 27-26, which means 53 points were scored in the game. Dave picked 47. Mm-hmm. I went with 44 points. So Dave wins.
How many did I get right?
You got 4 right.
Oh, I was right there. I knew it.
Alexa
right there.
Got 3 right. And
lose.
What she did wrong was pick the Washington Commanders, her hometown team, which
there
she shouldn't.
You go.
But, you know, you can't abandon them. So speaking of the hometown team.
Yes.
I made a massive mistake.
Massive.
I can't. I'm looking at the list and I'm looking at the list of games that we went through. And I don't know how I missed it, but we missed the beloved. We didn't even pick the Bears-Eagles game.
It's like leaving the groom's parents off the wedding program.
The Bears-Eagles game happened Friday.
It
and
did.
By the way, I love Black Friday football. That was awesome.
That was great.
3 o'clock game or 2 o'clock game, excuse me, on a Friday.
Yeah.
So much fun.
You had to be
so
paying attention to know it was happening, though.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess we didn't even pick the game. I didn't
unreal.
Put it on the list. I am so... And just so you know... That may have been what gave me the loss.
Yeah.
Because Dave probably would have picked Philly.
Yes.
And I definitely would have picked the Bears. And, John, I don't like to talk, but would you? Do you mind?
I'm with the Bears all the way, big boy.
That's right. I mean, So the Chicago Bears are the number one seed in the NFC.
Unbelievable.
Until Sunday.
Unbelievable.
But they are right now. I can't believe it. It's
December 4th.
Who do they
have next week?
The
Packers?
They got the Packers.
Packers are very inconsistent.
But they're at Lambeau Field.
The frozen confines.
No, that's the frozen tundra.
Whatever it is.
The friendly confines.
Well, you put the friendly
that's
confines and the frozen tundra together, and you got the
frozen confines.
that's how you do that, Ron.
Frozen confines is a freezer.
Yes.
Yeah, but what? I mean, how?
Man, I've got these lobster tails on my freezer right now. These things are massive.
Speaking of lobster tails,
yes.
I got a fun story for you.
Yes.
You probably don't know this story, but Kenny Williams used to be the general manager of the White Sox.
Yeah.
And
he
was away on vacation, and somebody broke into his home.
Whoa.
And got lobster out of his freezer.
Ooh.
This was back in, it was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
This man broke into the home, defrosted the lobster and was getting ready to cook it at his house.
Wow.
At Kenny Williams'
so
house.
So what happened?
Well, they arrested him.
Oh. Mid steam?
I don't remember. I need to go back and read the story. But the guy broke into the house and was getting ready to cook the lobster in the freezer.
Well, what a jackpot that is if you're a house thief.
Like, whoa, look at this.
Wow.
But why would you stay there and cook it?
Well,
take it home with you.
Well, you could, especially if it was frozen. You'd have been fine.
Major Garrett, the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, joins us every Thursday at 10:30, and he's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Major News with Major Garrett, our weekly conversation with CBS's chief Washington correspondent.
Chris and Amy show, but John Hancock is in today. I'm Chris Ranji. Time to go to the guest line. The chief Washington correspondent is also the host of The Takeout on CBS News 24/7. Major Garrett is with us on KMOX. Good morning, Major.
Good morning. How is everybody?
We are doing great. And as we speak, there is a briefing which is happening right now in regard to the drug boat strikes, which have been occurring in Venezuela. There's been a lot of attention paid to those boat strikes about the legality and some other issues. What do we know about that that briefing that's happening today?
So the admiral involved, Frank Bradley, middle name or nickname Mitch, Admiral Mitch Bradley, has talked to senior members of the House Armed Services Committee. He's venturing across the Capitol to talk to senior members of the Senate Armed Services Committee about what happened, what were the orders, and we have some inclination or indication, rather, of what he told the House members, because Jim Himes, Democrat, member of the Intelligence Committee and Armed Services Committee, said that there was no explicit order from the Defense Secretary to kill everyone. There was no quarter order given, but that under the understood rules of engagement, those who were taking out these suspected drug boats were to destroy them and to not allow for survivors, which is what happened. The question here is, does that conform to Pentagon policy? There's a written manual that says, no, it doesn't, that if there is a shipwreck or a destroyed vessel in a military engagement, and there are survivors clinging to any form of that wreckage, we are required to rescue them and either take them as prisoners or repatriate them. And the reason that part of what I just said matters is this was the first boat strike, September 2nd, the first of many that have occurred, but the very first. In October, there was another one in which there was remains of a suspected drug boat and survivors. Those two survivors were picked up and taken to a third country. What does that tell us? Or what does that at least indicate? It indicates that between September 2nd and October, there was a reassessment of what to do if there are, quote-unquote, survivors. So there's evidence that suggests operationally we do things differently than we did on September 2nd. No one is alleging that Admiral Bradley did anything wrong or violated orders or went beyond his authority. The great question that looms over all of this is, what is our ongoing attitude to anyone who survives one of these boat strikes? What is the evidence base that they're carrying drugs? What does that drug-carrying threat constitute to America? Remember, these boat strikes are hundreds upon hundreds of nautical miles away from the United States. Rand Paul, the Republican from Kentucky, has said, these boats don't pose a threat. They're so far away, the refueling required, et cetera, doesn't pose a threat to the United States sufficient to have three battleships and an aircraft carrier strike force off the coast of Venezuela. So the drug strikes are part of that conversation. The other part is, why do we have 15,000 members of the Navy and the Marines and its special operators off the coast of Venezuela? Is it to stop drugs, or is it to launch something inside Venezuela as part of a regime change act of war? The president said this week, not once but twice, that there will be land strikes in Venezuela. So the country needs to sort of wrap its head around where this thing appears to be heading, which is armed conflict with a sovereign country to dislodge what the United States and many other countries regard as a renegade, illegitimate leader, but nevertheless, it would be a war of some kind and of some duration in Venezuela, quite possibly involving the United States, because that's the trajectory things are on. The drug boats are part of that conversation, but you don't need drug boat interdiction to launch a military campaign in Venezuela. And the firepower arrayed off the coast of Venezuela is not about, or is not necessary, to stop drug boats. There are lots of ways with far fewer personnel to do that. So what is this huge allocation of battleships, carrier strike force, and all this personnel actually about? And it appears to be about Venezuela.
Well, it does appear that there's going to be some land action taken by the U.S. military for the purpose, I assume, of overthrowing Maduro and replacing him with what? We don't know. But the president has also intimated that he'd like to have, for free, access to all of Venezuela, a very rich oil-producing country.
Yes.
If the United States goes in and seizes that oil, that would be historically unprecedented, would it not?
Very much so. And it would dramatically alter all the dynamics with China and Russia, and it would create a strongman versus strongman hunt for an exploitation of resources all over the world. And autocracies that we are rivals with would say, you did it, that means we can do it. And that is why this is of such preeminent concern, because if this is about oil and extracting a natural resource from a sovereign country, and look, every administration since the Obama administration has declared the Maduro regime or the one before it a threat to the United States. So the United States has been hostile to the politics and the governance of Venezuela for a very long time. But it has never taken it to the level of potential armed conflict, which this administration has. Now, there is a scenario in which Maduro sees all of this arrayed military firepower from the United States and says, you know what, I'll take a flight to exile. That's possible. I asked the ranking Democrat, Jack Reed, on the Senate Armed Services Committee on my show, The Takeout, last night that very question. I said, do you think this is a means of intimidating Nicolas Maduro into fleeing Venezuela into exile and not having to have a shot fired? He said, that's possible. It's plausible. Trump plays at a lot of very aggressive levels, some of them psychological, some of them otherwise. This could be a very concerted psychological campaign to basically tell Nicolas Maduro, you don't have any good options other than exile, and achieving regime change without any shots fired, at least inside the country of Venezuela. I don't know. I'm not ruling that out as a potential outcome. It is very high stakes. And if that's not what this is about, and this is about striking Venezuela and engaging in some sort of armed conflict, and the ultimate goal is not political, but resource extraction, meaning oil, then the United States would basically declare itself on the global stage as an aggressor for natural resources. And if that becomes the understood global mentality, we will not be alone in that pursuit.
Many people around the country have already learned their health insurance premiums are going to go up as the Affordable Care Act subsidies were allowed to expire. Chuck Schumer today saying that the Democrats are going to force a vote next week on extending those tax credits, and it sounds like that's going to fail. What is that? What is that all going to mean, and especially for Republicans who are many of them opposed to it?
Right. So let me just go back to, because I remember and I covered so much of the Obamacare legislative debate. When Obamacare was put in motion, those who criticized it from the right said it was an attempt to create government-owned universal health care. And the way to counteract that criticism of government controlling everything was to put private insurers at the forefront of Obamacare. So it was a concession from the left to criticism from the right. Now, interestingly, President Trump criticizes Obamacare because it pays insurance companies, which was the private sector answer back when Obamacare was being debated to maintain more private sector involvement, less government intrusion. Okay? That's just the backdrop for this. Yes, insurance companies get paid directly through Obamacare. And during COVID, it was decided by Democrats and the Biden administration to increase tax credits to make more people eligible for a wider variety of Obamacare plans if you are not provided employee-based health insurance. Lots of people saw those tax credits and said, wow, I can use those tax credits to now afford something that I could not afford before. They've now grown accustomed to that coverage. And private insurers and those who work with them have now built those patients into their models. Well, if those tax credits expire, premiums will go up and the participation level will drop. And it will not only be something for those who are in the Obamacare plans, but if they drop out and others who are in private insurance absorb the higher costs associated with covering people who no longer have coverage, because remember, people still get sick even without coverage. They just get the most expensive form of coverage, emergency rooms and the like, then those costs cascade throughout the system. Everyone understands this in the complexities of healthcare premiums and the healthcare economics. And the politics of it do not favor Republicans because, yes, they did not set these more extravagant, more generous tax credits in motion, but they're now part of the system. They're now built in. Their absence will not only raise premiums for those directly impacted, it will probably raise premiums for those scattered throughout the system, and there'll be a political reckoning for that.
Yeah.
And more on the MAGA right are saying somebody's got to do something. Trump's got to come around on this, but there's no sign yet that the White House wants to come around on this or will help Congress find a way out of it.
Yeah, because the people that drop out of the healthcare system because they don't want to pay for the premiums tend to be younger, tend to be healthier.
Right.
And so that means the people remaining tend to be older, tend to be sicker. And that's
more
exposed and more costly. And so that's right. The underlying problem. The other underlying problem here is what we saw in Tennessee this week, where the Republican Matt Van Epps defeated by 9 points, the Democrat Afton Bean. And this was a race where Donald Trump had carried by 22 points. There's been a slew of these special elections and off-year elections now where Democrats are overperforming. How big of a deal is this politically?
So it's a very simple equation. Republicans had to spend more than $5.5 million to win a race by 9 points that Trump and Mark Green, the previous occupant of that seat in the House of Representatives, won by 20 points or more, investing far less. So when you have to spend much more to win by less than half of the margin you won by spending less, that tells you something about the prevailing political winds. And Afton Bain, progressive member of the state legislature in Tennessee, not aligned with that district. She's on the record saying she hates country music and bachelorette parties. Last time I checked, both were pretty important to Nashville. Bachelorette parties are like one-third of the economy. I'm exaggerating, but like they're a big part of the Nashville economy, and country music is everything. And she said on the record, yes, it was a while ago, but it doesn't matter. Those things come back to haunt you in politics, justifiably so. She hates both. She was not aligned to this district at all, and she still got within 9 points in a heavy turnout election. So this is an indication that the prevailing political winds are inhospitable to Republicans. My guess is more Republicans in the House who are on the fence about running for re-election will now opt out. Already, we're at a decade-long high of retirements from the House generally, and more of those on the Republican side, because more and more Republicans are saying it's a tough re-election battle in 2026. We will probably be the minority party, which means slogging through the last 2 years of a lame duck Trump presidency, watching Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance try to position themselves for the nomination. That's not going to involve me. There's not going to be a lot of work to do. It's going to be a slog. I'd rather opt out. And lots, not lots, but a higher number than historically has been true of Republicans are saying, I'm out.
Major Garrett, we enjoy speaking with you every Thursday. We enjoy the Takeout podcast you can watch or listen to. And we encourage everybody to do it. And what do you say we go ahead and do this next week?
Let's do it next week. I can't wait.
You're the best. Major Garrett.
See you guys.
Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News. And you should listen to or watch, whatever you decide to do, The Takeout on CBS News 24/7. Major is the best. John Hancock, pretty close to best.
I have my moments.
You're one of my favorite people.
Well, ditto.
Yeah. John Hancock, Chris Ranji on KMOX. Also today, I want to let you know that from 4 to 6 this afternoon at the Hardee's, 850 Merrimack Station Road in Valley Park.
Yes.
Part of Operation Food Search, the holiday food drive, the Glover Show holiday food drive, Operation Food Search is going to be there. I will be there. And what they are doing is taking donations, monetary donations. You can sign up to do that. Because all of it directly funds the Operation Backpack.
Autographs? You doing autographs?
No. Oh. Nobody's going to want my autograph.
Oh, I bet a lot of people would want your autograph.
Bro, come on. Let's relax. I'm not Jack Buck. What do you think's going on around here? Or John Hamm?
Chris Ranji.
Nah, nobody cares.
But I do know. CR on there.
That's right. I do know this. You should come out. You can make a monetary donation while you are there. And this is a really great program. Over the last 7 years, they've raised over $600,000. So
wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is a really great thing. The Glover Show has been doing this for a long time. I will be there. Holiday Food Drive, 4 to 6, Hardee's in Valley Park. And that is at 850 Merrimack Station Road. We're also, while we are there, we have passes for the Winter Wonderland at Tillis Park that we'll give away until those are gone. And we are giving away Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets as well, or your chance to win them. Like, we're not giving them away.
Cornucopia of amenities.
You have a chance to sign up to win those tickets if you stop by. So we hope you come by 4 to 6 at the Valley Park Hardee's, 850 Merrimack Station Road.
Sweet.
All right. We have a question of the week. John.
Yes.
Questions. No, it's just one this week.
All right.
Do you know about it already? Did you vote?
I have not.
Well, get on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. You need to be following the show.
I do.
Here's the question of the week.
Yes.
What color Christmas lights do you like?
Huh.
Your options: white,
yeah,
multicolored, yeah, or red and white. I didn't know that was the.
I didn't know that was a thing either.
And it was the only option.
So yeah, we actually do white on one tree and multicolor on the other.
I love that.
I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
No.
So vote in the poll as our series of mundane questions of the week continue. That's how we do it around here.
You got something better?
No, I do not. So well done. Please, maybe that's what we should call it, the mundane question of the week.
Hey.
From here on out.
That's gets lots called. Of action out there, though.
It does.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.